Yo.
Hey. Can you hear me?
You listening to
W-A-W. What a week. What a week.
Hello, hello, hello. Yes, I'm back to my usual posting. Well, whatever usual around here is. Some may have seen that Eugene Causa graciously stepped in a few times. Something for which I am eternally grateful, Eugene. Very good job you did with Apollo Tricks, but please come and pick up your booster seat, because we can't use it anymore. Please don't forget. Right, back in the saddle. Welcome back to Wow, What a Week.
Yo.
Hey. Can you hear me?
You listening to
W-A-W. What a week.
What a week.
Week.
2 weeks ago, our next guest posted a picture while attending a basketball game. But to many people, it looked like it was him sitting next to himself, watching himself playing basketball. It's just one of the reasons we find him fascinating and why we asked him to come in. Thankfully, we didn't have to pay him a salary to show up. We just asked nicely. So please give a wow welcome to Robot Boy. Mtandeni, my dog.
Yo.
I was using engine number
plates. You're coming with the number plates now, eh?
I meant VIN number.
Big dog, what's going on?
My dude, I'm so happy to have you here.
Thank you, King.
Auckland.
It's dope, eh?
I see you brought us some nice stuff here.
Yeah, you know.
Okay, so tell us about the Flavortron. What on earth is this?
Flavortron is the Robot Boy flavor collaboration with MoFire.
Sure.
Can designed by the boy, named by the boy, and it's three flavors, as you can see.
Sure.
And yeah, Red, Yellow, Creed, man. If you need energy, no matter where you are in the world, keep the same energy. Flavortron.
You know, the other day I was driving through Swartdrakens.
Yeah.
Swartdrakens is a little town between Rustenburg and Zeerust.
Okay.
And I stopped at a little Portuguese store because I needed to buy the takeaway nyan.
Young snack nyan.
And an old Afrikaans man, he's a farmer. Well, one of the way he's dressed, he's a farmer. Walked in there and bought a MoFire. You know, my heart just quietly did an air punch.
Like a Dango.
My heart did an air punch that MoFire must have drachen.
Yeah.
And
Zeerust.
Little pass by.
Yeah.
This was in Swartdrakens, not even Zeerust. Swartdrakens, bro.
That's the power.
So,
man.
So shout out to you guys.
Shout
so
out.
So we need to do this for God.
Come on. Did you hear that? Tito. That's the why.
Oh, man. So how did you get involved in Lisbon? And why did you agree? Because, I mean, you could have endorsed like a ton of other stuff.
I think in the beginning, man, I've always had foresight of what works in terms of the boy.
And it tastes good.
Thank you.
Sure.
See? Dango. MoFire is an energy drink. I'm a robot. A robot needs energy to function.
It needs oil. You should have done this with castor oil then.
But if you are listening and watching castor oil, thank you for the...
You're welcome. You're welcome.
The plugging.
Hey, of course. Because robot, you must be oiled. And
no robot. P95. Exactly. Total Sasol engine, if you're watching. I'm kidding. So basically, there was my mind went, okay, here's an energy drink.
Sure.
And this is who I am, this is what I do.
Yeah.
You know, so I reached out to one of the dudes at the time who was promoting MoFire because I saw the t-shirts and the cap.
Yes,
he connected me to his PU, the founder of MoFire. Then his PU introduced me to Smoo.
Sure.
And the relationship from there just grew.
And the rest is history.
The rest is history.
I can tell you're a creative. Introduced me to DJ Smoo. And then from there, the relationship just grew.
Yeah, it's the boss.
You know what
I'm saying?
Mutwani Ba. I first interviewed you at Metro about 5-6 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And then you were more the McDonald's guy than anything else.
Yeah.
Tell us about that era of your life where you're building and looking back over the last 5-6 years at how far you've come.
Yeah.
How it makes you feel.
And it's a blessing, man. And shout out for that too, you know, because it's those platforms as well. And your...
And in fact, at the time, in fact, our mandate, myself, Lo Fense, when we came up with that feature, was we're going to interview kids that are making inroads in terms of social media.
Mm-hmm.
Because at the time, it wasn't a big deal that you could do this.
And there's a handful of us also.
And you could do this for a living.
Yeah.
And we're like, we're going to interview every single one of them until something happens.
Yeah. And, you know, to my point, like, big shout out to you and Fense and for that platform as well. Like,
yes, sir.
At the time, it was me just doing these McDonald's videos because I've got concepts and ideas in my head and things that are gonna live forever, because the country's always giving us content.
Sure.
So when there's a reshuffle, I can go order a new government at a McDonald's drive-through. Shout out to Orlando Pirates. So when I was there, like, I was like, yo, let me create this content because it can live forever and I can always do this thing at a McDonald's. And because social media didn't know me yet, they knew me for my content. And if it's the content I'm always shooting at McDonald's, I then become the McDonald's guy, the McD guy.
Like I said, now that's how I knew you at the time that we brought you into studio.
And from there, we had to, with the attention we have, start building the brand Robot Boy at the same time. Because that's what people need to do with attention. You need to use the attention to build and grow what you're trying to achieve instead of stick to the hype, because hype dies.
Guys, never waste attention, even if it's negative.
Please.
There's only, the minute you have eyes on you, use those eyes.
You know what I mean? So that's that era, that's that time where it's like, okay, now we have this attention, people are watching with the same concepts and these ideas. Let's build this thing and then let's get more campaigns, let's get more plugins, let's get more deals and more ideas that can grow out of the attention that I have here.
Were McDonald's involved in this?
So they got involved, I think, 2 years later.
When they realized that, oh, Flip, we're sleeping on our own shit.
When I met the CEO at the McDonald's at Rosebank, Greg Solomon.
Sure.
And then he connected me to the people and the agencies, and then we had to operate something dope.
Were you able to invoice for the previous 2 years, or is that under the bridge?
I was able to, with my chest, say how much I should be getting type of thing. Because it's like, yo, I've been running with you for this much, and this is how much I've done. And in fact, your people call me the McD guy.
Sure.
Certain things that you do without me, the comments are like, yo, but where's this
where's
guy?
Where's the guy?
So, yeah. You know, and that's the growth. And ever since, man, the same things, just on higher scales, better equipment, better levels, and that's the growth.
You know, Shimza did a workshop for kids in Tembisa about 2-3 years ago. And there was a kid in the creative space who was saying he's looking for gigs, he's looking for agencies. And I was telling him that, you know, you need to do similar to what you did, where do stuff and just post it. Do stuff and post it. Or if you see an ad and you feel you could have done a better ad, create, do the better ad.
Show them.
And post it. Don't wait for you to be given a gig. Give yourself the gig and post it. Because it lives there and they see your creativity and they might call you for the next one.
There's no gatekeeping on the internet.
There isn't.
The internet, if your video hits 2 million views, it's hit 2 million views. And that's the gig you created for yourself.
You can't take that away.
And that's what you present to the people.
If your favorite brand is More Fire and you've seen More Fire ads, you're like, and you feel like these ads have no fire, create your own ad and post it.
Create a spark and bring in the fuel.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And it actually frustrates me to see how kids are sleeping on themselves and on the internet access that they have.
Guys, internet is your best friend.
Yo.
Like on God.
Yes. Anyway, let's go to pre-internet.
Yes.
Because you were born, in fact, you're about the same age as the internet, at choice.
Sintanga.
Childhood. Tell us about your childhood.
Childhood, man. Childhood was crazy. I mean, only boy around.
Sure.
A lot of sisters, a lot of female cousins. Born in Pimvili, raised in Mdeni, Nasenaledi, Deep Clue Zone 5.
Were you aware of the legend you were, the household, the legend of the household you were born into?
Not until grade 7.
Sure.
So, yeah, I'm just a kid living in a house, but I can see the activity, man. Ringo coming to the house, these kids, I'm like, yo, why is Ringo pulling up to the house?
Yeah.
Abu PSC pulling up to the house. And then by me saying not until grade 7 is because there was the release of Pops.
Yeah.
So that's where the shows are coming back. That's where the TV interviews, the radio interviews, Drum Magazine coming to the house.
Sure.
You know, bulletproof cars. So it's like, okay.
Yeah.
And then the Nelson Mandela story that everybody well knows, I think.
Those that don't know, tell us about
those that don't know. So the late Nelson Mandela came ekhaya to gift Ubaba with a fruit basket on his birthday. and
as one does.
You know what I'm saying? you don't just get Nelson Mandela coming to your house and jail for fine. But sure. Yeah, obviously, Ubabumzwa Kimbuli
sure
is the reason for that. And yeah.
But you were raised in a very, as much as there was a lot of politics, a lot of stand up for your rights, mm-hmm. you were also raised very Christian.
Yeah.
You were one of the leaders at your church even, where you were... Yeah, you're one of the church, what was it?
Like a cell leader.
Yes, yeah. Like a cell leader. And I've learned reliably that there's not a child that was in your cell that is not excelling because of your leadership. How true is that?
Crazy. Crazy. That's dope. Like, the thing is, in that breath, you know, we just the vessels, man.
Yeah.
You know, it's being able to be used by God. And being able to allow God to use you with the same discernment that you need to. Because yes. having the position and the discernment are two different things.
Yeah.
You can have the position as a leader, but still do your own thing also.
Exactly.
So for me, it was just being able to be the vessel that God uses and everything that is for these kids I'm leading to be a voice and a direction from God so that it happens the right way. It's like Christ always spoke about not my will, but your will. Or I do the work of my Father, or the will of my Father, the one who sent me. Because as Jesus, he could have done his own thing too, you know,
exactly.
with the powers, whatever. But that's what it is for me. Like, you know, being raised in a Christian home gave me the foundation. And then being in a church that is discipleship based gave me an understanding of discipleship and what it means to be a leader and a leader of leaders. And with everybody else I was leading, it was that, Uguti, yo. This is how Jesus did it. This is the template. This is what the Bible says. And this is where I'm at. And where I'm at, I'm going to help you as best as you need to be helped.
You almost responded with either disbelief when I asked you that question. Why is that?
It's not disbelief. It's...
Or pride, even.
It's a form of being humbled at the statement and at the same time being grateful at the fact that that's the result.
Yes.
Because you never, because these are people's lives, by the way. I can only tell you ABC, and if you apply ABC, you'll get EFG. You know what I'm saying? So it's like one of those things where you hope for the best, but you can never predict where someone else's life is going to go after your guidance.
Parenting 101, basically.
You understand? Yes. Yeah.
So where are some of these kids that you used to lead?
So some of them are... The one guy, I remember, he told me he got married, he got engaged.
Wow.
The other guy invited me to his wedding also. The other guy is working as a marketing director under CHEPA.
Jeez.
The one guy is... Actually, a lot of them... engaged, that's funny. A lot of them are engaged, and most of them are like businessmen and women.
Wow.
Yeah.
And it makes you feel what exactly?
It makes me feel in a form purpose-driven because, like I said, the Christ model, you know, the work of my Father. So being able to have done something in someone's life or impacted someone's life eternally, with or without my presence now.
Sure.
If that makes sense.
I hear you, though.
Yeah. So I think that's dope, man. It's like inspiration is an ongoing thing. You know, I can say something to a kid in high school now, and that kid 5 years later meets me and says, yo, you know, when you came to my school and you said this, it led me to this. And that's influence.
It's the best feeling. And I think often we take it for granted because you've moved on with your life. And it's only when the plant, whose seed you planted, comes back and gives you feedback that you realize that, oh, flip, I did that.
Because that's our job. Our job is to water.
Yes.
Your job is to water. In some cases, you do get to plant the seed, and then it gets watered by other people.
Yes.
You know what I mean? It's like me being here in this position with more fire.
Sure.
So maybe the seed was planted by Uspiwe and then Smoo watered it.
Yes.
And then now here's the product.
Absolutely.
So this is the tree. This is the green type of thing, you know? And yeah, that's what it is, man.
Now, I'm told the kids, now adults, that were part of your youth ministry still move like you.
Oh, that's dope.
Tell us about that and how that makes you feel.
That's dope. So I think to answer that, the cool thing is that the stereotype of being a Christian and not being cool is way past us, right? Right?
Nah, it's boring now.
So I've always been the person to try to tell you that, yo, the Bible says come as you are. So firstly, you being in God and in Christ doesn't mean you have to change who you are. You're made by God. God knows you more than anybody else. Mm. But don't take a stereotype and fall under that path of, I'm going to be a Christian and being a Christian is boring. Being a Christian is cool.
Sure.
You see, and this is how I make it relevant to you. Mm. This is how I move. This is how I live my life. Mm. This is how I... So I've always applied the word of God in the teachings and me being a leader and leading the cell groups and the guys. Mm. But I've also shown them in my perspective and in my way too.
Sure.
So I think what you're saying is telling me, Guti, the guys were like, okay, cool. Here's the Bible. Here's the devotion. Here's the fasting and praying. But at the same time, Umzi is also cool in this way, in this manner. This is how he approaches gigs. This is how he approaches people.
Absolutely.
This is how he approaches work. So I can also be this and there, because we are supposed to be the light wherever we are and wherever we go. So that makes sense, because I think besides applying the biblical applications and having a relationship with God, they're also seeing how I've applied it to my personal life. And I think that's very dope.
Would you say there's almost a revival of sorts in terms of Christians are becoming bolder? Kids are becoming emboldened in, why should I be embarrassed about that? Mm-hmm. I am a Christian.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Especially in a world where people expect it to be politically correct, and politically correct often means don't throw your religion in my face.
Mm.
So now people are almost all in their little corners.
Unapologetic.
You know what I mean? Mm. But there's almost a sense that people are standing up and saying, but this is who I am.
Yeah.
Come as you are, like you're saying.
Yeah.
Are you noticing that?
I am. And the thing is, what's weird is that every other religion has been doing that.
Yes.
And every other person has been doing that but Christians.
Sure.
So it's like, why were we not bold in the first place? Why were we shy to begin with? You know what I'm saying? This is someone who died over 50,000 million years ago, but we're still talking about him now. So how relevant is Jesus now to then?
Sure.
So why not speak about him every day?
Absolutely.
And it's like the confidence, because the Bible also teaches us, if you deny me in front of your friends, I'll deny in front of my Father.
Absolutely.
It's like you can't be a shy Christian. You can't hide what you're excited for. You should be sharing it.
Also the half.
Yeah, it should. Also the lukewarm and the either hot or cold.
Sure.
It's like that thing is evidently seen, Uguti. There's nothing wrong with being bold, with being radical.
Mm.
There's a difference with Bible bashing, and I think that's where the discernment comes in.
Sure,
you know, because
sure.
It's not about valid judging people or Bible bashing, but it's about being understanding of who you are and where you're at, and just the calling upon your life. You know, if God has given you numbers to be influential with those numbers.
Sure.
God has given you a specific talent with people.
Mm.
You know, be good with people and use those opportunities to be a light wherever you are.
Sure.
And that's what I'm seeing. And it's good to see, because it's what we're supposed to be doing.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So Cotton Fest is coming up, what, next week?
Is it 6th of April?
Yeah. Cotton Fest is coming up. We've lost Ricky Rick. We've lost Costa Titch. We've lost AKA, and they were all mainstays, Cotton Fest. But in terms of the losses we're taking as an industry, as a nation, where now how do you internalize those losses? Do they in any way influence your feelings of your own mortality? Like, yes, I don't know if...
I got you. Yeah. I'm with you, big dog. I think death does that to all of us, man.
Mm.
You know? Again, there's a Bible verse that speaks about, and I'm paraphrasing, it's better to go to a funeral than a wedding, so a death or a celebration, because the death will remind you and make you remember or consider your life.
True.
Right? Because that's what it is, man. You know, you'll want to live like you're never going to die, but unfortunately, we're all going to die one day. So it's like a death does that to you. It gives you what am I doing right? What am I doing wrong? What should I change? What should I consider more? What should I appreciate more? You know, is it time? Is it family? Is it the purpose? Is it the gift? Is it the materials? Is it, you know? So I think those deaths, especially being in the industry, they always make me appreciate the industry more and try to remind everybody more about them too.
Sure.
In my merch, in the custom jackets, mm-hmm. in the things I do when I perform, also in like the fact that let's go harder for mm-hmm. the guys that we've lost that were part of this that would have loved to go harder, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I remember I did Amafest, in London, mm-hmm. one of the biggest Amapiano festivals,
sure.
in London, and I said to the crowd there, I'm like, yo, can I please get a piece of my chance in the air, because I know for sure if Kilakau and Mpura were still alive,
sure.
they would be on the stage, mm-hmm. you know, type of thing. And mm-hmm. these are people that they also know their music, so they're also like, oh, hectic, you know what
Absolutely.
I'm saying? Just those shout outs, those dedications, and yeah, that's what it does, man. It just reminds me to always consider life first before everything else,
mm-hmm.
you know. Yeah.
You just reminded me of Kilakau.
Yeah.
Hey, we've been losing people.
A lot, King. And like people, we lose people every day, basically. You know, it's just that obviously the ones that are in the limelight
get
seen or recognized more. But yeah, like we are losing people every day.
Let's talk about the importance of staying grounded, the importance of humility.
Mm.
The other day I met you at Northgate and those kids losing their minds. Like, guys, kids lose their minds when they see this. Like, minds. Kids are losing their minds. I mean, you walk into our studio here at Amped, and some kid literally burst through the door.
Mm.
And, you know, because we're recording, security wanted to keep him out.
Yeah.
It's like, no, man, let him come in.
Bring him in.
This might be his one chance for the rest of his life to actually interact with you. So it's important that we are humble at that level.
Mm.
Tell us why it's important for you to be accessible like that.
For me, it's because I'm, as funny as this will sound, I'm a human, guys.
Robot.
But I'm human. I think what we don't want to do is we don't want to give the wrong impression because of music, TV, and social media that places us on a pedestal. You don't want to be too far off on a pedestal because you're unrelatable.
Sure.
Because if you're unrelatable, you're almost too far gone, and then people can't be in the position that you're in.
Mm.
You know that thing of mawubuyile kasi,
sure.
people go, eish, bofunda nathi, bohamba la, bothenga la, bodla la, what's the next door? Because we're from the same ground and the same hood, it gives someone else that same dream. Like anybody obukela ubungani izungu playing football overseas goes, yo, nami being trainer kule ground lele, out be trainer kule. So nami, my dream is very possible because someone that is from here did the same thing. So for me, it's that, always reminding people, ukuthi, I'm just as human as you, I just put in the hard work. So if you put in the hard work and you learn and you practice certain things, you can become where I'm at. And you don't want to be too prideful because everything I have is God-given. So I can't be prideful on a gift that wasn't mine, that was given to me.
As if we're not clever. You
yeah, understand. Like, I wasn't born knowing all these things. Some of these things I learned on the way. So
Absolutely.
It does make sense because there'll always be a better version of what you do. There'll be a taller person, someone with funnier jokes, cooler shoes, cooler swag, better dance moves, better everything I do, there'll be a better version of, but there's only one of me.
Sure.
So that's the only thing I can hold on to, which there's one robot boy, but there's people that can do what I do better. So don't ever be prideful with your talents and gifts because you can be replaced in any space and any time. And also pride is the thing that dropped Lucifer out of heaven. Not lies, lust, fornicate, it's like pride. So the level of pride, my level of reverence as far as pride is concerned, is very high.
And I think just to add to what you're saying, because that's always my challenge to young entertainers, that not only is there someone out there who's faster, looks better than you, and works harder, are you willing to be a better version of yourself? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because that's how you're going to stay in the game. That's how you're going to stay in the race. By staying ahead of yourself.
Yeah.
But often we take so much pride in, I had that one hit, and then you bask in that one hit, versus I'm going to work so much harder that the person I was last week is not who I am right now.
I'm going to do more.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm a bigger, better, faster version of who I was last week because I'm racing against myself. Despite the fact that there's other people trying to replace me, I must be trying to replace myself from last week.
Man, Super Mega has a line. Always had a dream that I would be the Super Mega on my second album, but they treat me like a legend. Listening to my old ish, that's my only pressure.
Yeah.
City where the gold is, that's the holy Mac. Like, listening to my old ish, that's the only pressure.
Yes.
That's the template. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Being better at yourself and understanding that your character will sustain where your talent takes you.
Absolutely.
You know, a lot of people have the talent and the talent shoots them up to a place or a level, but they fall and crumble out of the fame, the hype, the money or the space because they don't have character. So for me, that's the biggest thing. Build character and people will open doors for you because of your character. Mm. You'll go further because of your character. And yeah, character is better than talent, man. Have character and iba umuntu.
But it helps that you have talent first, though.
Yeah, no. Also, hey, yeah, no. Guys, hard work beats talent when talent isn't good enough.
Yes.
But yeah, talent is always in the conversation, but hard work can get you there.
Well, imagine if you took your talent and took it to school and then you gave it a bit of discipline and work ethic. Be untouchable.
Ish.
Yes, you.
Where na?
If the shoe fits Cinderella,
wear it.
Put the shoe on.
Where na procrastinator?
Yes.
Where na lazy person?
Where na I'll watch the podcast next week?
Where na Ash, I'll do this tomorrow.
My dude, what are you currently working on that we can support?
Currently, man, Flavortron, when you see it, buy 3 cans because it's times 3, you know what I'm saying? And music, man, the music is coming out. I'm doing dope features that I've never done before. Tell us about them quickly. Which is another funny thing. I've had these people around me all my life, but I've never had music with them. And I think it's interesting because that's another thing. We've never said, because Kamumpele and I are brother and sister, we've never said, okay, let's get into studio
tomorrow. Let's do something.
Yeah, but now finally something's coming. So some of them I can't say, some of them I can. But yeah, me and Jazzik are releasing my gents. Vibro Deep is also in the cut somewhere there.
Yep.
Shout out to DJ Lag. We're doing work with DJ Lag.
Jeez.
There's a song that's got a lot of, not a lot of, but new upcoming guys that people need to look out for. Super Lupra. The song's called Kuma Kuma. Shout out to Leah Records. My Vest and My Silver, these boys that I'm pushing to.
Sure.
That are fire with lyrics and, you know, the young kids that have a dream. So My Vest and My Silver, the Times 3 EP. And then there's merch. Yeah, the team store merch. There's clean merch. There's team merch. Online store. Check it out. Yeah, man. Basically, plug and playing things that people have been asking for. Because a lot of the stuff, I've been such a person of giving that I've always almost slipped on stuff we can produce.
Absolutely.
So people are like, yo, you made yourself a chain. Can I get a chain? And I'm like, oh, this was just for me to say thank you to myself, you know? So stuff like
that. At that time, you could move literally thousands of those.
Yeah. So Era by Zintle times Robot Boy, that's also coming soon with the jewelry.
Yes, sir.
But yeah, so like there's a lot of stuff, man. But music, if anything, and support the dance culture, guys, because the dancing is carrying the music, the dancing is carrying the culture, the dancing is carrying the music videos, and most of the artists that are artists now, we all started as dancers, you know what I'm saying? And yeah, like back then, being a dancer wouldn't be a thing, but now if you tell your parent that you want to be a professional dancer, I think they can almost kind of see where it can take you. So yeah, let's support dancers.
Parents, it's okay. Don't be on some show. What's like a robot?
What structure, though, and a plan and a purpose? Not just divorce.
And one thing we need to not sleep on is the fact that dancing has SA on the world map more than anything else right now.
Yeah.
Just from dancing. Just dancing.
Like,
that's wild.
Do you know what's crazy? I bumped into Major League, the twins.
Yeah.
And that's what they told me.
Yeah.
And I'm like, you guys are traveling the world, killing the game on every stage, holding it down, holding the flag up. And the first thing you tell me when you're back in the country is, oh, boys, now you're like the dancing, boys, you must sell the dancing, operate something. Oh, the dancing, now you must go harder. Go harder, boys. Now I must go harder, boys. I saw you even won the award at the trace. Shout out to you, boys. Now the dancing. The dancing is carrying the culture, boys. And I was like, yo, shout out, you know? Like, that is dope. So the dancing, the dancers, shout out to everybody.
I wasn't expecting that, so you killed me.
The culture, man. Like, Sautas on the map, man.
Yeah. What other impersonations can you do?
Other impersonations?
Yeah.
Yo, so they were saying I smell a weed. I'm out here in my kitchen, near my lanes, you know. The whole world go here by this. Yeah. you know, I don't know if it's me or what's good. You know, we all here.
Yeah.
Shout out to my goat, man. That's my goat, man. I love MT, you guys. Yo.
So tell us, why did you post the video of you and your penis, MT? Tell us why you did that.
Hey, y'all see that? My bad. That was his only response, I'm sure, on the live. That's my goat, man. I was on that live. I said, my goat. But that's my goat, man.
Yeah.
Shout out to MT.
Give us last one impersonation, then you can go.
Last one?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm trying to think. Now I'm trying to find the file. Are you a movie lover?
I love movies, dog.
Marvel or DC?
Geez, I'm more Marvel. Although I collected more DC comics, I'm loving the Marvel movies more.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Marvel movies more, yeah. But DC comics.
Sure.
Okay, so why I love DC is because the villains aren't just aliens.
Sure.
I feel like every villain in Marvel is just aliens, except Thanos.
Yes.
And then, but DC, there's like Joker, freaking Bane, and like...
We can relate to them
as human
beings. Yes.
So Joker would pull up and go, do you want to know why I love WoW? You see, What a Week is by Fresh, and Fresh is... one of the freshest guys in the game. But the Batman doesn't agree, because Batman only watches popcorn and cheese. But before popcorn and cheese, there's podcast and chill. And I was wondering why, Mr. Wade, you would wonder if these podcasts are educational or just wasting our data. But for now, folks, as Brain, I shall show you where I will receive my people. Thank you. Yeah.
My dude.
King.
My dude, I have nothing but respect for you, dude. Like, nothing but respect for you.
Same.
It's been incredible watching the last 5 years of your life. It's almost like everything you do, you multiply. It's almost like God is like, yo, guys, I'm not done with this guy. I'm yet to show off.
Crazy. Because
this is my dude that I'm going to show off with.
Yeah.
Do you ever feel like that?
A lot of comments come with, hey, God's favorite. And I just think it's application of the word.
Sure.
You know, if you seek me wholeheartedly, you will find me.
Sure.
And I seek God, bro, as much as I can. And I think the closer I am to him, the more I can hear his voice, even through a whisper.
Sure.
Not even through him shouting or him being across the room. You know, when someone's across the room, there's more voices that distract you from the voice you need to hear.
Exactly.
So I try to get as close as I can to him so that every instruction, everything, and same with Calvin, you know. My management and my team is like impeccable, man, and everybody's grounded and rooted in God too. So I think that's another important thing, is that seeing me one, you know, it's everybody around me, my family, everybody's holding me down in prayer, and we're moving aligned with the purpose. And
in closing, was there ever a period in your life where you felt like maybe he's abandoned you,
God,
or where maybe you questioned your faith?
Ish. So I've never questioned my faith, but yo, when we lost the boys,
yes,
at once, all five,
yes,
yo,
yeah,
I was like, okay, I know everything happens according to your works and your will, but where is this verse in the Bible? Because my brother,
make
not
it make
five,
sense. Yeah, you know, make like it make five. Sense. Yeah,
like honestly. And I don't think I've ever said this before. Honestly, that was one of the first times I ever felt like I need to stop making friends. Because I'm almost friends, or I'm cool with everybody. I know everybody. And I can walk in a building and greet everybody because I know everybody, because that's my heart. Like, I try to not. But after that, I told myself I'm not, because one death is enough. I'm affected by all five because I know all five. I was in the space of all five. Well, I made it an effort to know everybody. So it's like, then everybody else kept on passing away. And people are like, Robert, because there's a video of me with someone, and I've been to someone's house. I have their numbers. I've like, So there was a moment where I almost stopped making friends or stopped trying to grow this thing of
the network.
Yeah, the network of being able to make friends that easy too, and just being having a big heart, man. So that was the only time where I was like, okay, come out this thing, because I can't afford to get as hurt as I am now. And then, yeah, that happened for I think a month, and then I made more friends. So we all just
we're back on the rodeo.
Yeah, but yeah, besides that, man, yeah, that was the only time I was almost like, you know,
Ah, dude, we're gonna have to let you go. The team is shouting. They're starting to throw popcorns.
That's a cheesy line, but
what is Georgia? Scottie Pippen is on some Jordan. There you go.
Hey, let's go.
My dude.
Yo.
Like I said, not only am I a massive fan of yours, I'm a massive fan of your work ethic, because I've encountered talent for the last 30 years.
Crazy.
But I don't encounter work ethic such as yourselves often. And that's one of the reasons why a lot of the talent that I encounter fizzles along the way. Because they don't understand that the work ethic is what keeps you going. Your talent alone, eventually we get used to it. You're talented, so what?
Crazy.
But are you willing to back it up with work, with discipline, with work ethic, with showing up for yourself, with showing up in GE? A lot of kids are not doing that. And that's one of the reasons, and I was telling Mosquito, one of the reasons me and you will continue gigging 30 years down the line. Vinny the same, or Glenn Lewis the same, Christo's the same. I've told all of them that. The reason why we will gig for another 10, 20 years, because half the kids out there that are talented are not willing to work.
Yeah.
Not willing to work.
And that's true. Like, those are bars.
Yeah. So I love and respect that about you, that you're willing to work.
Nah, thank
you. So don't stop working. Don't stop building. Don't stop giving them a reason to say, squeezing in. Why is he doing all the jobs? He's doing all the jobs because he's damn good at all the jobs. What are you doing?
Hard.
So if you need a representative at the court of Squeeze Us In, I'll be there for you, my dog.
No, I got you. Can I have my representative to speak for? So what I love about Roboboy is that what my dude does is that he's immaculate. And my dog, like, appreciates you so much. And, you know, what I love about you is that you, I got you.
In fact, I don't need to show up. You'll wear a mask and do that.
Yeah, no, I got you. I got you. But shout out, King. Appreciate it. And it goes like both ways, man. Consistency. You know what I'm saying? Consistency. Whether platforms or no platforms, you still... I use this example about David Beckham. I like saying being a brand means you can change careers even though we were introduced to you by a certain thing.
Absolutely.
David Beckham hasn't played soccer in a while, but he's still David Beckham.
He still trends
in soccer. I don't think
we
associate DJ Fresh with the radio. You're still DJ Fresh. You know what I'm saying? With the different things that you do. And that's what I mean by brand. Building something that stands and something that is. So shout out to you for the consistency too, King.
Now that we're done saying nice things to each other, I want to ask Robot Boy to leave our studio. Thank you for the more fire. Please support, guys. I support Aning. Robot Boy is about to leave the building.
This is...
What a week.
This kid really kicks.
So, you can say you don't know what it's like to live in Annandale because you don't know where it is. You can say you haven't heard of the thought-provoking play For Colored Girls. Then again, you're probably never going to be on a billboard in Times Square, New York, too. Well, our next guest is familiar with all of that because she's done it all. Please give a wow welcome to CO.
Yay!
CO Khan! You're also Lulama.
Yes, I am.
You also have a name that I've heard people butcher like a lot.
Throughout my life.
People see it and they see CO Ban.
Sounds like an ointment for an ear infection.
Sioban. But you're Siobhan.
Yes, sir.
What is it with colored folk with exotic names that are spelt and pronounced differently?
That you'll have to ask my mom. So my mom went to, she met a nurse who in an exchange program from Ireland.
Okay.
And she saw this name and she said, should I get a daughter, I will name her this. So I'm named after an Irish woman I'm never going to see.
So you could have been Sinead. And we're going to call you Sinead.
Exactly. Or Sosha. And I don't know how you butcher that. It could be anything.
Siobhan, welcome.
Thank you, sir.
I was actually also named after Irish dude Owen. My other name is Owen.
Oh.
We actually have a lot in common.
That's wild.
We're both like 100 meters tall.
That's true.
We both eat cables. Why am I eating a cable? It just jumped into my mouth.
I mean, that happens.
When last did you eat a cable?
I haven't had one in a while, but they're tasty.
I'm sure they are. So you're a model also.
Yes, sir.
And you walk like one.
Yes.
You look like one of those women that never slouches.
I actually do have the worst posture. I just like when I'm during the people, I sit properly. And
also,
stand
also you remember chest out,
yes,
stomach
I'm just
out.
Like, people are watching. I'm not at home because at home I'm just like, you know.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
If you were to meet a 5-year-old,
yes,
and they were to ask you, Auntie Sio, what do you do? What is your 30-second elevator pitch?
Sure, to a 5-year-old.
Yes.
I think I'd just say, Nana, I'm a storyteller.
Yeah.
I tell stories in as many ways as I can.
Okay.
So I've just told you the story of me.
Sure.
And you've just told me the story of you, and that's what I do.
Where did you say your story became a big deal? Your story.
I think it popped off when I decided to take ownership of my voice.
Okay.
Because I grew up in a community that praises the belter, that okay, praises the big voice, like Mariah Carey.
You must sing like Mariah or Whitney, basically.
Yes, you need to do all of those big runs and those big
the vibes and the
all of the things, the yes, musical gymnastics, you must cut them.
You must do the music that Eddie Zondi would play on Metro.
That's it. And I don't have that voice.
Absolutely.
But like I sat in my voice, and then I got noticed for not only how I told stories and
okay,
how I, and just my voice. And that was like, okay, this is unique. And there's something special and specific about it that's pulling people's
sure,
attention, which
sure,
is something I'm like, not, I wasn't used to at the time. I mean, I've grown accustomed since.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, just sitting in my voice and taking ownership of that has
sure,
has changed everything.
Growing up in Annadale, how has Annadale shaped the woman that you are?
Annadale is...
And also the woman that you're not.
Okay, so I think it both. It's essentially the answer to both those
okay,
parts.
Okay.
Annadale made me rebel.
Sure.
Against everything I saw.
By the way, it's one of my favorite townships to actually party at.
Oh, lovely.
Yeah, I've played some of my most memorable gigs I've done in Annadale, including one at Dominic's Paradise on Christmas Day.
At Totis.
Dominic's Paradise, guys, is a club. It's a house
yes,
turned into a club.
Yes.
With a pool inside.
That's it. Yeah, everybody went there. Everybody's
absolutely,
had a run through that space.
That's one of my favorite career parties ever.
I'm glad.
Anyway, carry on.
Yeah, so
saying.
Annadale made me rebel because it had a very narrow view on what it meant to be a person and a professional. And I did not fit in. I had sort of... people didn't like that I have a black father and a colored mother
okay,
when I grew up. So that was sort of like...
As what, you were not colored enough?
I wasn't colored or black enough
okay,
for them. So I was in my little bubble by myself, and I ended up spending a lot of time alone
okay,
because of it. And I was just like, okay, y'all don't want me. Fine. I also don't want y'all. And I'm going to go and become my own person.
I love the Innerdale attitude.
So that's how it shaped me. And I looked at everyone around me and I thought... I don't see role models in this space.
Sure.
I don't see a lot of people I aspire to be like.
Mm.
And I'm sad that that's the case. So I'm just going to model myself after this weird creature I see in my head.
Okay.
And that's who I've turned out to be.
And tell us about this creature. What did the creature look like?
She was the girl that shaved the sides of her hair off
okay,
when everybody was just like, we are a bit furry cunt. I had a purple mohawk, like a literal, like, you know, skin
yes,
from the UK, like
yes,
strip of hair.
I love skin.
Yes, she's amazing.
She's incredible.
But like had that vibe and everybody's like, everyone would look at me and think I was a Satanist for a long time because I just veered very far left. Yeah, but I was just like, okay, she looks interesting. Let's shock everybody. Let's just see how much I could shock everyone as a teenager.
So where are the parentals in all of this journey that you're walking, trying to find yourself?
So Daddy-o, the rents. Daddy-o is gallivanting and making lots and lots of other children with other people. He's not
as,
at home.
As one does sometimes.
You know what it's like? Yeah. So that's what Daddy-o's doing. And Mom's working. Mom's doing the best she can to provide and keep a roof over my head.
Sure.
And she's also taking care of a lot of her siblings and my cousins. Okay. So aunts and uncles, very sort of fluid and migrant family setup. So that's what's up. So I'm left to my own devices quite a bit.
How did that not turn into you walking the wrong path? Because often kids left to their own devices. Right now, I have a home with 3-4 kids with different fathers.
Yeah.
They have a habit, or they're in rehab, or they're trying to find rehab, or family's trying to look for them.
Yeah.
And generally, that happens across most townships. How did you miss that bullet?
I looked at, again, the rebel in me is just like, I'm not going to do what everyone else is doing. Because I'm just like, what's the point? Also, I'd definitely hang out with them.
Sure.
Don't get me wrong. We'd blow them together and they'd all be drinking.
But there's a line, basically.
Sorry?
You drew a line somewhere.
Yeah. It's just like, okay, what is the consequence of this for me in the long term? And I thought about that earlier and I was just like, if I cannot find 5 solutions to this one problem, I'm not getting involved. And more often than not, I'd be with you and I'd just be like, please don't let the cops come because I don't know how I'm going to get away from that because I'll be guilty by association.
Absolutely.
But I didn't engage in their behavior.
So I just,
I'd be with them, but I was just like, nah. After a while, it just didn't make sense to be friends with any of them.
Where do you think you got that from, though? That common sense that I might hang out with the bad kids.
Yeah.
But I know I'm not a bad kid. I know my intentions are different.
Yeah.
But it's just, this is the company I'm stuck with right now.
Yeah, I don't know. I just feel like that was ingrained. And I also, I've had empathy for my mother. I didn't want to cause her trouble because I saw my dad put her through the ringer. And aunts and uncles and cousins put her through the ringer. And I was just like, I don't know. I don't want to make your life harder than it is. So I decided not to engage.
Because the reason I'm asking you, because I went through a period where similarly, I was almost seen as the uncool kid.
Yeah.
So when kids in the boarding house were sneaking out to behind the chicken coop, we had a chicken coop at our boarding school.
Yeah.
To drink alcohol, I was not interested, for instance.
Sure.
The only thing I wanted to do was to sneak out of the boarding house to go to a club because I was a DJ from the age of 13.
Okay,
like,
yes.
That's as far as I was willing to go.
Sure.
But, you know, when the Oaks wanted to smoke, wanted to drink, wanted to do other things, you know, often I was like, my line is here.
Yeah.
And sometimes you lose friends because of that.
Facts.
Sometimes you're seen as not cool because of that.
Facts.
But I realized that if you know exactly what you want and not want, often your path stays exactly what it is you dreamt your path to be.
Facts.
Yeah.
Facts. Same. So I there were lots of times when I was left home alone.
You could have had a house party.
Yeah.
You could have had boys over.
I did.
Oh,
I did have house parties and I did have boys over, but they were not in me.
Yes. They were in the house.
They were in the house, but not in me. So I had a lot of like male cousins as well.
Sure.
So they would stay with us whenever life was rough for their moms and dads.
Sure.
And the boys always had the girls over and they closed the doors in the rooms and they'd do what they did.
Sure.
And I'd just be like, my mother's poor house. Oh,
sure.
Shame.
We must get incense and cleanse the thing.
Bruh, wash the sheets, please, my G. Wash the sheets. But like, no, I never engaged in that. And everyone is like, you lie. And I'm just like, you don't have to believe me, bruh. You really don't. But I'm just not going to avail myself to that energy. And I also very early understood, I don't know how, I feel like I'm an old soul in some ways. But like, I understood that there's an exchange of energy within sexual engagement.
Indeed.
As a kid. And I was just like, bruh, I don't want to carry you and all of the people you slept with, skak.
clear.
In me. After, no, I'm just like, I don't even know I'm going to cleanse that.
Yeah, absolutely.
As a kid. And I was just like, no, miss me.
No sage can cleanse
miss,
that.
Miss me. I don't need it. It can pass. Thanks very much. So that was my vibe as a kid.
Looking back at mom's sacrifices.
Mm.
The shit you say mom went through.
Facts.
And the empathy you felt for Ma. And that is one of the reasons you try to stay on the straight and narrow.
Mm.
What would you like to say to Ma right now about everything that she's been through, gone through, and sacrificed for you?
Thank you for allowing me to be myself without apology.
Yeah.
Thank you for doing your best to keep me alive.
Mm.
Thank you for providing everything that you've done for me, and also thank you for giving me the freedom to be myself and not imposing a hectic career on me. Thank you for saying, my child, I'm a nurse because I had no other option.
Sure.
And I'm not inclined to be a teacher, so I chose nursing, and I clearly have a calling for it, but I don't love this work. You live in a world where you have the freedom to do what you love.
Sure.
So please go do that. That's the greatest gift she's ever given me. So I'd like to thank her from the bottom of my heart for that. Although we have a very contentious relationship and it's difficult, but thank you for that.
Where do you guys clash with Mom?
We clash on everything, Fresh.
Yeah.
Everything. Like it's difficult to be a brown child. I don't know if you've had this experience, but like I don't know if it's fair to say it, but a lot of us are born to be our parents' retirement plan. And it's, I feel very much that way.
I think it's like that with a lot of kids in the hood.
Yes.
Where you better work hard because I want to stop working.
That's it.
Yeah.
That's it. And you need to be available to take care of them. And I'm doing my best in terms of like what I can provide financially, but I don't have the means to be there in person. So that's tricky to do both. Because if I am there in person, then I don't make money.
Sure.
So mom and I clash.
What's the biggest blowout you guys have had with Ma?
Oh, do I say this?
Yeah, I think you should.
Okay, so
take us in your confidence.
Okay.
It's a safe space.
All right, so mom... But I went to London at the beginning of the year and had a very stressful time coming back. And I was coming back into a play I was cast for Colored Girls.
For
and
Colored
I haven't
Girls,
been
yes.
on stage as an actor in years.
Sure, sure.
So it's been a good decade or so since I've been an actor.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm walking into this incredibly huge acting job that I've done. It's the first time I have a boss in ages.
Mm-hmm.
So I have somebody to report to, and that's terrifying because I've been a freeloading freelancer for as long as I have been.
Sure.
And mom's got a couple of medical conditions, and mom pretended to be dying in order for her to get me to do what she wanted.
You're kidding.
I'm not.
Oh, wow.
And she did that on my
legend.
Second day.
Yeah.
But it was dark, and I was just like, Ma, how could you?
Yeah.
That's dark. I could have lost this job. And it's important to me.
All lost your mind.
Yes. I had to like literally be like, I was late on the first day, which is a very bad impression in my opinion.
Sure.
And then because of circumstances out of my control, my flight was canceled or delayed. I think it was delayed.
Sure.
And then I had to spend an extra day in Abu Dhabi.
Jeez.
And then come
and it's not like you're in Abu Dhabi shopping.
No.
So you're in transit.
I'm just like, guys, I want to go home. I've got to start rehearsals tomorrow. And I walked in like half a day late.
Jeez.
For that. And then the next day, my mother's and everybody around mom is calling me saying, your mom's not all right. CEO, my aunt is saying, your mom phoned me. She said she's dying.
Jeez.
And then I go home and she's chilling, eating noodles, chilled. And I was just like, what? Wow. I was blown away. I was absolutely blown away by that. So that's the biggest blow we've had.
So now you do a lot of traveling, and one could argue that overseas has probably started showing you more love than we do.
Yes, absolutely.
Tell us how that makes you feel.
They're like, I must leave earning food. In short. No, but it's really great. It's really great because it gives me a whole new audience and a lot more appreciation for me without having to conform to what South African popularity standards are. So yes. I don't have to do Amapiano to pop off.
Absolutely.
But I need to do it here to pop off. Well, to some extent. But yeah, that's the most popular genre in the country. So it's taken over everywhere. So if you're not in that space, you kind of are in a bit of a murky spot as a, as an artist. But
hasn't Deep House kind of been sustainable for you?
Always.
Yeah.
It's like it's an underground sound.
Absolutely.
But it's got the most loyal fan base.
Yes.
And it's full of gentlemen, which I appreciate.
Yeah.
Because the rest is just like, nimhlapa, nyangthusa, ay. But like for the most part, yeah, very cool, very cool, very loyal crowd.
When did you realize that, wow, I'm becoming a global name in terms of the dance scene?
I got a billboard in Times Square.
Yeah.
That was stupid. I was just like, I'm from Annadale. How the hell did that happen?
Sure.
But like, that made me go, hold on.
Sure.
I'm being taken note by, at this magnitude, in this space. And I've never been to New York myself. So that was incredible. So that made me go, okay, you may want to think of expanding. And that was during lockdown, so we couldn't travel at the time.
Absolutely,
but just like... You may want to think of expanding and thinking of yourself as somebody who needs to be outside of South Africa a lot more than you have.
Now, before we carry on with the interview, because I want to do this now before we run out of time.
Sure.
Because my management are very, very managerial. We normally play a song when we have a singer. It's called The Musical.
Okay.
So, CEO, The Musical.
Yes.
Where you... Imagine you picture your life as a musical. Maybe it's on Netflix.
Okay.
Maybe it's on stage even.
Okay.
And where you are the steering, obviously.
Of course.
And because it's a musical, there'll be music.
That's cool.
So I want us to picture CEO the Musical. And start right at the beginning. The song that you'd say punctuates what your childhood was. What is that song?
It would be Jabu Kangile. Tatumkaya.
Yeah.
Mkaya Lo. I don't know. Yes, I can't remember the name. But yes. that song. It played on TV all the time with my mother and them. So, yeah. My mother really loved that song.
Yeah.
And then when my dad was around, that would be a song that would play a lot. There's so much more music, to be fair. But that one just makes me think of my childhood.
Are you able to sing it for us?
I'm looking for my woman today. A woman with the looks of Buntu. I'm looking for my perfect woman. A woman I can trust truthfully. Say a love like a papa tree. So originally.
What?
Tatum Kayalo. Wam tatunkayalo. I think.
Wow.
More or less.
You know, I love your voice because it is just so different.
Thank you.
It's the only one almost.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Is it a superpower or is it sometimes a curse to have a voice that is that different to the others? Like you were saying, even in Annadale where you grew up, you expected to sing like Whitney, to sing like Mariah, but you were like, I don't sing like them, but I do sing.
Yeah, I sound like I was kicked out of a jazz club in 1955 somewhere in New York at some point. But
and you walked out singing anyway.
It was so bizarre. That's how my singing, like when I sang for myself, that's how it sounded. Because like I sang in church choirs all the time and they'd always choose the belter and the Mariah Carey percent.
Yes.
Yeah. Good for you. But then I'd always be in the chorus.
Yeah.
But like, in that context, when I was a kid, I always felt like I'm not appreciated.
Sure.
But then I wrote, and when I started singing for myself, I sounded like this, and it's been a complete blessing.
Mm.
I don't warm up my voice, and everybody's like, "Sia, what do you mean? I'm the worst person to come to ask for like singing discipline. I just, you tell me to sing, I'm going to sing now. I don't want about nothing. I just hoy.
You don't like gargle with
warm
sherry.
I like being in theater again. I was like, oh yeah, people warm up their voices.
Yes, and what is it when you have a stutter? Yeah, there's an exercise you're supposed to even do. Or something.
So you do like a consonant run, I think it's called. So you have to do those things. But I was just like, oh yeah. By the way, guys. But like, no, I don't. So I'm terrible in that sense. So I've got two incredible gifts from the Most High.
Sure.
They're two things I call God flexes in my life.
Sure.
The first God flex is this voice that sounds like no one else. And then the second God flex is my pen game.
Sure.
Yeah.
So you write like...
all the time.
Like God is showing off.
I'm just like, Lord, thank you for the words.
Yeah.
You're great.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
As a writer though,
mm-hmm.
do you not find sometimes that you can't switch it off?
Yes, all the time.
That it's almost like when you play Tetris for half the day.
Yeah.
When you close your eyes to sleep, you just see these shapes falling.
Does
writing do that?
Yes. Like that time when you just got into the shower, you just got wet. And then writing comes, and you're just like, brah.
I'm in the shower. Why don't you write on the steam on the shower door?
I can't. It's gonna go, and you're just like, fine. Like it's like another person. And I have this chat with my writing. I'm just like, now.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
And there's also been so many times when you get hit by a song specifically.
Sure.
In the taxi, and everybody's like,
who is she?
And then that family and. You know, so it is often convenient.
Which of your songs that we know would you say came to you at the most inopportune time? Either you're in the middle of a screaming match, you're sitting on the loo.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't think I have any of those really.
Yeah.
Yeah, no. But not that you know.
But it can switch off then. A little bit.
It can. It does. It does subside. Now and again, I get like waves of busyness and silence. Yeah.
Seal the musical.
Mm.
Your teen years.
Mm.
When maybe starting to notice boys.
Mm.
Are there any songs or anything you wrote inspired maybe by your first crush perhaps?
Yeah. I was such a romantic. Don't tell anyone. But I would write poems for my crushes.
Okay.
So I wasn't the kind to sing or just have songs for them,
Sure.
Yeah, so I wrote poems for them.
May we hear one?
Ooh, I'm not going to remember all of it.
Okay.
Because it was like high school.
Sure.
But like, there's a boy I had a crush on, who had a crush on me, but we didn't know until after school that we liked each other.
Jeez.
But anyway.
Okay, one of those.
So it goes, dark and light, light and dark. Where is the kindler of this spark that rules the way I think, that dictates the way my heart beats, that finds all the secrets I try to keep just by listening to the rhythm of the way I speak? Oh, I can't remember the rest of it because it's very long. It was like a 4-page poem, but that it was called My Secrets.
That is incredible, though.
Thank you.
You're a poet.
I've been told.
I thought it was just in your bio.
I mean, I've been told.
Seal the musical.
Mm.
The one song of yours that you'd say changed everything. Changed
1,000 memories.
That tune, dude.
1,000 memories. It absolutely changed everything for me. That it made me think, you should potentially stop doing your job. And I did. I quit my job.
What was the job at the time?
I was a model booker and a casting director at a production company.
Okay.
So, yeah. I did 1,000 memories and like that made me go, okay, I might need to quit my job and pursue this seriously.
So what changed? Was it like the bookings that started coming in, the radio play?
Yes. The bookings started coming in, the radio plays started coming in, and just the demands of my time away from work became so much more.
Yes,
and I was also I got the remix package from the gods on that, and I was just like, hold on. Oshun Lade and Ajaz and Charisma have worked on my voice. What do you mean?
Exactly.
Those are gods
absolutely.
In the deep house space.
Absolutely.
Like, what do you mean? So that was crazy.
How did you hook up with Julian?
Julian found a song I did with guys from Dobsonville called Lilac Jeans, and the song was This Love.
Okay.
Okay. And he was very impressed by the story and what I wrote in this love. Mm. So he's just like, are you the girl that wrote that? Yeah. And are you singing? And he hit me up on Facebook Messenger. And I was just like, there's no way this is Juliet.
Yeah.
There's no way. There's no, like, why? I asked my cousin to double check. And it's like, no, it's him. Yeah. Definitely is. And then we met, he sent me the beat, and then we met up in person to record. And that was crazy. I was just like, what is going on? I don't understand.
Whose life is this?
What is happening? But yeah, so met up with Julian, and he loved that, and we've had a good work relationship since. Mm-hmm. Mm.
And then there was talk about you feel you're not credited enough, or you, were there issues? Was there ever any issues around the song?
Yeah, just like house music and dance music specifically, and I didn't understand this. It looked like a really cool thing because I was very afraid of fame. Fame looks like a beast.
Yeah.
If you step one toe out of line, you get completely pummeled by the police of the space.
And people who don't know you, actually.
Yeah, I don't really know who you are.
The irony.
Yes. So I felt like that was scary, but I liked that I didn't know the house vocalists at the time. But then I learned later that that's exclusionary.
Sure.
And that we all need to be credited. There was an award we were nominated for 1,000 Memories, and my name wasn't on the plaque.
Sure.
Though it's called 1,000 Memories because of my words.
Absolutely.
You're
50% of the song, minimum.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So that happened, and I noticed throughout, just like listening to radio, even how sometimes they completely ignore the feature.
Sure.
And then just mention the producer or the lead.
Sure.
So I was just like, okay, I'm not loving this house business. Mm. I want to take a step back from it.
We need to change the model.
I need to change the model. And then I was like, okay, I decided to do one house album.
Sure.
That was my second album called Features. And I featured all of the producers, which is rare. And I don't think it should be.
Yeah, they were your bitches.
In short. I'm sorry, guys. It's not what I think about you at all. That's what he said. But yeah, they were very open to it. And they're like, finally, somebody else is doing that. But I haven't seen it done a lot since.
Sure.
Since I did it. But yeah, I wanted to flip the script on the feature.
1,000 Memories, please.
Yes, sir. What about it?
I'd love you to serenade me.
Okay. There's a man across town with devotion in his hands. There's a man across town with a heart I can't command. I wish he'd look at me. What does he think of me? Could we ever be? Oh, could we ever be 1,000 memories, 1,000 hopes and dreams of him and me? Could we ever, 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 so sweet and so slow, I wonder if you know of me.
Do you ever listen to songs you've made and you fangirl yourself?
Yeah, there was one time where that happened. I was like, and I didn't recognize my voice on the song because I hadn't heard this song in over a year.
Yeah.
Well, close enough, because I was working on a song with FKA Mash.
Yeah.
And I was always like, I hope people are listening to the words, like what I'm saying.
Sure.
And I realized people generally don't, and that's fine. When they do, they're like, which is great.
She said something.
I said something worth listening to, which is great. But then they always focus on the voice and the tone and the uniqueness of the voice.
Sure.
And then working with FKA Mash on a song called Bumblebee, I completely forgot it.
Yeah.
And then I saw a video of him playing it out before release, and I was just like, who is that?
Yeah.
And I was like, wait.
That's me.
That's me? And I got like a hit of what the reception of my voice is like, and I was like, wow, that's insane. So, yeah.
Okay. Remember I told you they want to tell us we're running out of time?
Okay,
It's starting to happen.
Okay.
Finally, the one song you wish you had written or sung.
There is a song that I absolutely adore by Nonku Piri. She features on it. I can't remember the lead's name. Sorry.
Yeah.
But it is called Noma's Descent.
Okay.
My gosh.
Okay.
Wow.
Sing for us.
She, how does it go? My brain's taking a walk now. You're the first of our bloodline to truly heal with time. The freest of our kind. Knowing this to be true, what have you made of all these gifts we bestowed upon you? Combination of divine alignments and perfect timing. Take this omen as a sign and keep shining. I was like, yo, ma'am, I'm going to tattoo that song one day.
You know, you sound like you should be singing in a jazz club in New Orleans.
In 1961.
I was thinking like 1945.
Close enough.
As as World War II is like brewing and bubbling under, there's this club, but because of segregation, they're like, but fuck, we need to get it in here.
Yeah.
Because she's the only voice of the time, and they get you into this club.
Whoa.
And it's all smoky, and it's that's how where I see you.
Amazing.
It's geez, dude, you're different.
Thank you, sir.
You're different.
Thank you.
Yo, guys. Anyway, we have a voice note for you, by the way.
Okay.
Please put on your headphones so you can
sure.
Hear this voice note. Can you hear everything?
Yes, I can.
Okay. What's happening? This is Kid Funk, and I got this message from Fresh's team to just give you a little bit of a insight as to how I met and how I discovered Sio. It was a couple of years ago, and I was playing a show with Charles Webster, and Charles had a backing vocalist who was Sio Black Widow at the time, and I managed to see her perform, and I thought she was incredible, had a great look, had a great stage presence. And then after that, I performed, and she saw what I did. And after my show, we just, like, greeted each other and said, you know, we need to stay in touch. And it really, it's been kind of 5 or 6 years since then, and I've managed to put Sio in some really incredible situations where she's just flourished. She, I think one of the biggest moments in her early days was connecting her with Dawson, and they created the incredible Forbidden. And since then, it's just been really brave moments for Sio. You know, she released one of the bravest records I've ever released on Stay True Sounds, and we continue to grow. You know, she put a lot of trust in me, and fortunately, some of the ideas that I have, we put together, and you know, comes beautiful. This year she's performing in Malta, Croatia, Ibiza, and we've got very, very big dreams, ambitions for Sio in the UK and beyond. So it's just the beginning, Sio. More and more things for you to come. And shout out to Fresh for recognizing true talent in South Africa.
How do you feel about that?
I'm gonna cry. That's the only time I cry is when I'm happy. I cry happy tears. Those are the only tears.
Oh, you're one
I
of
cry.
Those.
I'm not gonna do that. I'm not, Ellen, me. Oh, guys, that's the sweetest.
No, but he's an incredible dude, though.
He is. Oh, guys.
So, Malta, Croatia, Ibiza.
Yes.
Hopefully, we'll meet in Ibiza. I'll be playing in Ibiza in June.
Yes, I'm also there in June. And then I'm back in October. I don't know when. I'm there. When am I there?
I hope we're there the same week. I'd actually love to see you kick butt.
That would be lovely. That would be lovely. Thank you so much. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Really, really cool.
For those that missed you on stage for Colored Girls, please tell us what we missed in for Colored Girls.
So for Colored Girls was like, it's a play by Ntosa Kishange. He's an American playwright.
Yes.
And she chose that name because it is, it speaks to her taking ownership of herself and her things.
Mm.
And that was what that play was about. It's very painful.
Mm.
It deals with a lot of what Black women go through, and women in general, but specifically Black women have faced. We all had to learn American accents based off of the specific places the monologues were written from. So it's a choreo poem.
Mm-hmm.
It stars 8 girls, and it was directed by the incredible James Glover and choreographed by Lulu Mlangeni. It was such a beautiful learning experience for me because I had to learn again. I just went in and I was just like, you are an idiot.
What did you learn about yourself in For Colored Girls?
How much strength we have as women of color. Mm-hmm. How much we have to just carry because you're expected to be... We're essentially firstborn sons. That's what girls, black girls are.
Mm.
We firstborn sons who have to carry the household.
But the irony of it is you're all of that.
Yes.
But still invisible.
Facts. Always. And that was very clear because that's what was happening and what we spoke about during the poem. Like, I play the lady in green, and she has the lightest monologue.
Mm.
She fights for herself and she sits in her body and she sits in ownership of her body, which is something I'm going through because I've been sexually abused as a child, and it's still awkward being in my body now and again.
Mm.
So it was very nice to sit in a play where a woman is taking ownership of her body. And I'm just like, if there's a thing I'm going to take away from you, it is that aspect of it's okay to be me regardless of what's happened, and sit in the power of myself and sit in the driver's seat instead of wait for something terrible or somebody else to be in control.
Mm.
So there's very much that. It was very lamenting. So lots of pain and lots of crying and lots of rage. But nobody felt sorry for themselves.
Sure.
So that's the thing I loved about the play. And everybody who saw it loved it. We got standing ovations from people like Silo Makega and Mobius. So I was just like...
Yeah, my 15-year-old daughter went with her
mom. Amazing.
Because we're like, she has to watch this.
Yes.
It's important that she watches this.
Yes.
As she goes into her womanhood.
Yes. Very important.
And she was blown away.
Yeah. Incredible cast. I was among such... incredibly beautiful, talented, intelligent, deep woman.
What do you say to a man or a woman that was sexually molested as a boy or a girl and is struggling to adult because their child back there is still
hurt? Pain?
Yeah. Based on your learnings and your journey.
Forgive yourself. And there's a lot of shame that's attached to it. There's a lot of like darkness and pain. You feel like it's your fault. Like you may have called it, you didn't. You didn't do anything wrong and there's nothing for you to feel gross and guilty and dirty about, which is something I felt.
Mm.
Lots of like dirt and guilt and ick.
Mm.
And I still kind of do feel that. And it's okay that you feel it.
Mm.
Healing isn't linear. You will go through phases of light and shade and you'll get hit by it like you are on Mount Everest and you're being trapped. And there's times where it's a breeze.
Mm.
And it's okay. You don't have to identify with it too much.
Mm.
It's difficult. I get it. And if anybody makes you feel cack about what happened to you, because that's something that's happened to me. I was with a man who made fun.
You're lying.
Of, he did. Lying. He made fun of my sexual abuse and my rape.
Oh, wow.
Literally. I was like, that's shocking. But don't let that get to you.
Mm.
Just also, like, if anybody makes you feel like a piece of shit for that, they're not supposed to be in your life.
Absolutely.
And give yourself room. Give yourself as much room as you need. There's no one way to
there's
do
no
things.
There's no formula.
There's no formula. We're all like on a rock flying through space. It's okay. You are allowed to not know. It's okay.
Isn't that the beauty and also the scary thing about this thing? That 8 billion of us on this rock
we're
all just winging it.
We don't know. There's no handbook. Yeah, it's my handbook, for sure. It's crazy.
Oh, man. Sio, I could chat to you the whole day.
Madison,
I think
thanks.
You're an incredible woman.
Thank you, sir.
I was a fan of your work.
Yeah.
I am now a massive fan of the woman that you are.
Oh,
so
thank
you've
you.
Got a brand new fan.
I appreciate
beyond
it.
Beyond the music.
I've also been a fan, so that's mutual.
I think an incredible storyteller.
Thank you.
I think the world needs to hear your story. More of the world needs to hear your story. And I think South Africa needs to wake the huff up.
Yeah.
To the woman that you are.
We give thanks. They will. It's all right.
So shout out to you.
Massive thanks.
Yeah. Guys, CEO is about to leave the building. What a woman. So, bunnies. Easter is here with more reminders. Yes, including the Easter bunnies. Reminders to keep all your eggs safe, no matter what kind. To watch the sugar intake. To try and stay away from... nails, thorns, or any sharp objects. And since you don't know which one will be your last supper, to enjoy as many of them as you can. So not just a good Friday, but a good and wild week ahead. Shout out to AM Studios. This is where we are right now. Africa Podcast Network. We are family, baby. Pezulu Works for the cinematography. Otis the Flo Fraser for all of the imaging. And our guests, Seal and Robot Boy. Shout out to our creative producer, Krivesh Mohan, and our show producer, Keletso Modisa Geng. Email waw@africapodcastnetwork.com.